الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله كريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد. Beginning the khutbah al-jumma today, praising Allah and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having blessed us, walhamdulillah. To having blessed us, walhamdulillah, to have lived to see the days and nights of Shahr Ramadan. Where, walhamdulillah, we know that these days and nights, they are filled with blessings. They are filled with forgiveness. And filled, walhamdulillah, with a freedom from the hellfire. To have lived into the month of Ramadan, walhamdulillah, with all of its rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have blessed us. To rehearse the Quran. That Allah would bless us in the month of Ramadan, walhamdulillah, to achieve the obedience to Allah's command because Allah has ordained the institution of Sawm for the generations that preceded us. Informing us in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Qutiba alaykum as-siyam. There are those who followed the previous prophets. They were given this command. And somehow their people went astray. We are blessed, walhamdulillah, that we are in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have not abandoned. Kama qutiba alladhina min qablikum. We want to acquire la'alakum tattaqun, to acquire this reward, this taqwa from the month of Ramadan. But today I want to say something to you, and I don't want you to feel offended, but I want to warn you. There are many of us, walhamdulillah, when we look at our achievements in the month of Ramadan and we set out some achievements. We said that in Ramadan, oh Allah, let me stand in the night and pray and I'm going to acquire some taqwa. If, oh Allah, you let me fast, while I'm fasting, I'm going to give a vain speech. While I'm fasting, alhamdulillah, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to, alhamdulillah, have more adhkar. I'm going to read the Quran. I'm going to do more and more and more in the month of Ramadan. You get close to the end of the month of Ramadan and maybe you say to yourself, well, I didn't do too much. I didn't do as much as I wanted to do. But you feel good about yourself. You know some people who are not in the masjid. You know them, but they're not here. And you start feeling good that you're one of those people, alhamdulillah, you're saving yourself from the fire because you're here. Maybe after the month of Ramadan, you're reading the Quran and you start feeling, subhanallah, feel close to Allah. Because I was in the masjid. Maybe as you come to the last days in the month of Ramadan and you say, well, in the last 10 days they have itikaf and Allah is going to free me from the hellfire. I start feeling good. It ain't over yet. They have a saying in this country, it ain't over till it's over. So I want to remind you today of a story about a great scholar. Abdullah ibn Imam Ahmed. Everybody knows him as Imam Ahmed, radiallahu anhu. Right? The story says that the son of Imam Ahmed, he was with his father at the time of his death. All of us, alhamdulillah, we would like to be by the side of our loved one when they die. Abdullah, he was by his father. And he knows, alhamdulillah, that his father was a person who was upright. His father was a scholar of Islam. His father was teaching, alhamdulillah, he was an example of good character. Subhanallah, if there's anyone who is living with someone, and not only are they a scholar, but they're also your family member, you live with them, you see what they do in public and what they do in private. Maybe, subhanallah, you say to yourself, you know, even as a Muslim, I'm fasting in Ramadan, and although people can't see me, even in private, I'm obeying Allah. And my fasting, I know that I'm doing it. And so on the deathbed of Imam Ahmed, the story goes, as is often for people at the end of life, maybe they will fall into unconsciousness. And so while he was unconscious, as many of you know this riwayah, he began saying some words, and his son listened to what the father is saying because he knows it's the last words maybe that his father will pronounce. Labad. Not yet. No, not yet. The son is standing over his father. He knows that if he's dying, he's going to meet the Malik al-Maut. And the Malik al-Maut is going to say to him, your soul come out. Come with me. Your life is over. There's no more air for you to breathe. There's no more water. There's no more wives, no more children, no paychecks. Nothing is left, not a speck is left for you in this reality, in the dunya. Come with me. And the son sees the father, and in his semi-conscious state, he's saying, no, not yet. As any son who believes that his father really was a pious person, he starts being concerned. What is happening to my father? How could someone I thought was so pious now, in the last minutes of his life, he's afraid to face death? The companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were happy to meet death because they know they can throw off the shell of this life. And all of the masiba, all of the problems and the trials and the tribulations, it'll all be over at the time of death. Subhanallah, and they see it coming. But this son, he hears his father saying, not yet. And as it is when people are sometimes in this saqara, they're going between consciousness and lack of consciousness, teetering on the border of death, they'll come back to consciousness again. And so Abdullah has a chance to talk to his father. He says, oh my father, why were you saying no, not yet? I'm afraid for you. What was happening with you? And his father replies to him, according to this narration, that Shaitan was standing right next to me, biting his fingernails, saying, oh, Ahmed, you slipped through my hands. I almost had you. You could have been like the person in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pious person that when they meet Allah and Allah asks, "What did you do for me?" They say, "Oh Allah, I was a pious teacher. I used to teach people the Quran and the Sunnah of your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, great public lectures, and I used to write books, and I was famous for teaching." And Allah will say to him, "La. You were doing it so that people would say about you so and so. So now get your reward from them, because your work wasn't for me." Maybe he could have been like the rich person who, when they meet Allah, they say, "Ya Allah, I spent all of my money in your cause." Allah said, "No, you spend it so that people would say, 'Oh, so and so is so generous.'" Maybe he could have taken a risk and feel comfortable like the person who said, "I was living in this life, Ya Allah, and I was fighting to defend Islam, and I died in your cause." And Allah said, "No. You are acting like that because you wanted people to fear you. You weren't doing it for me. You wanted people to say you were brave. It wasn't about me. So now, the time of death, you're meeting Allah. Go and ask those people who you were trying to impress. Ask them to give you the reward." Imam Ahmed could have been in that place. He could have said, "Yes, Shaitan, I beat you. You tried to get me one time with some shirk, but I didn't go for it." The Imam, he could have said, "I know one time I was tempted by a beautiful woman, but I didn't pay her any attention. Alhamdulillah, I beat you." "Yes, Shaitan, I know you were laying for me in every place, and subhanAllah, all throughout my life, I defeated you. Now I'm facing death. Ha! You miss me." Imam Ahmed's reply should be a lesson for us. He says to Shaitan, "No, not yet. It ain't over till it's over. I don't want to live a second thinking that I have escaped Shaitan in this life. I got it going on. I don't have any sin." Because that's when you are the most vulnerable. Check out the new Shahada. Somebody take Shahada. They used to drink, gamble, fornicate, lie, cheat, and steal. They went every kind of place. Shaitan doesn't really bother them. Their disobedience to Allah is on autopilot. They don't need the wasawisu to get them to go do something. They're on their own. But the day that they take Shahada, Allah forgive them of their sins, all of a sudden they become public enemy for Shaitan number one. We got to get that person off the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Wallahi, a man, he's been pious his whole life. He get married, women find out that he's married on the job. They ain't paid you no mind before then, but now you're married, then they start winking at you. Why? They said, "Oh, because he's upright.
your stock, your value goes up. When shaitan knows that you're on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and he knows when you're getting close to the end of the game, that that's the time to strike you out. And so Imam Ahmed said, no, not yet. I have not defeated you, shaitan, until I take my last breath. I'm reminded of so many missed opportunities that we have in life. Were we to have the attitude that it ain't over till it's over, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Through our difficulties, Allah brings some ease. But if you want the ultimate achievement, even when you're free from your immediate task, continue to struggle and turn your attention to Allah. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد. You know, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us in Hadith Sahih, and this phrase is used often in the Quran, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم borrows from the style of the Quran in his kalam, saying that Allah makes the best deeds of a person their last deeds. That Allah makes for you the last deeds your best deeds. I don't know how many of you look at a grade point average. If you go to, your child is in school, or when you were in school, your grade point average. Your grade point average, even though maybe some of us, they started out as a poor student, but then over time we became better, our grade goes up, but we're always held back by the low grades that we made in the past. So your GPA is brought down. If you were to be evaluated by someone saying, I want to look at how did the student improve in their senior year, were they better than in their freshman year or their sophomore year? And we're going to give them wherever they were at the top, then we'll count that because they have learned throughout their matriculation, and so we're not going to penalize them. Only the mercy of Allah has this kind of grading system, that Allah counts most our last deeds. None of us knows when our last deed will be. Therefore, we should have this process of saying to ourselves that it ain't over till it's over. That even though I feel comfortable, alhamdulillah, I fasted Ramadan, inshallah, I'm going to live to see the day of Eid, there's no guarantee. Tonight in Dar al-Hijrah, we will have the khidmah. We'll close and we'll finish reading the Quran tonight. Khatim al-Quran. There are many people I know, not you, but there are many people I know, sometimes we call them Laylatul Qadr Muslims. Am I right? The only time you see them is on the 27th of Ramadan. They probably have a Khatim al-Quran group. You see them, they come for the khidmah. They're probably another group, they're just the Ramadan Muslim. You will see them again next year. If you're in any one of those groups, say to yourself, it ain't over yet. I know there's someone saying, but Imam, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. I want to get a lifetime of reward. If I'm standing in that night, subhanAllah, I should be good. If Allah forgives sins from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, alhamdulillah, as long as I get to the next Ramadan, I'm good. But you don't know that. Just like Imam Ahmed said, I don't know whether this is my last round or not. So until I take my last breath, no, I have not defeated shaitan yet. So alhamdulillah, I'm inviting you. We know, alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that anyone who completes the month of Ramadan and follows it with 6 days, it would be as if they fasted all year. My advice to you is not to take it literally, but what is it really saying to us in a bigger picture? Don't stop fasting just because Ramadan is over. Don't stop standing in the night and praying because there's no Taraweeh prayer, so why should I pray? Even though I'm going to hear people say in the adhan of Fajr, Salatul Khairun min al-Naum, me, I'm sleeping. But in Ramadan, I'm awake for Suhoor. So I pray Fajr on time, but now Ramadan is over. Just keep going. Don't stop. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you an institution, fast and Shaban. Why? So you can keep going. I'm going to give you a challenge. I believe that for our children, Ramadan is the best month of the year. For our families, it's the best month. For our friendships, it's the best month. Why? Because, alhamdulillah, we give up those other relationships to have a relationship with Allah. And we do it all together. There are some children, they live in our society, they live in isolation. But in Ramadan, the masjid is open every night for them. All of their friends come. We try to make sure that in Ramadan, our children have a good time. They have their candy at suhoor time. Sorry, I know some of y'all, I know some of the children, they eat candy, so I'll tell you now. You try, alhamdulillah, to give them treats and so that they can enjoy the sweetness of Islam. Families, some youth I had at Howard University, please come forward, brother. They're brother standing right there. You see them standing right there? You would not believe they're standing right there because they want to sit down, but you won't move. To give your brother a seat, come forward. Husn al-Dhan, right? Isn't that what they call it? Husn al-Dhan, right? You prefer others over yourself? Come on, man. Make a seat for the brother. In the month of Ramadan, one student at Howard University, she was making a joke, but it's serious. She said, "How I know it's Ramadan? Because my mother cooks dinner every night." That's America. Maybe another country would be different, but in America, all of a sudden the kitchen becomes alive in Ramadan. Families eat together. They spend time together. The children and the wife and the husband come to the masjid together. When Ramadan is over, don't have the feeling that I got it. Have the feeling I need it. Ramadan is over. You used to be hungry to be in the masjid. Stay hungry for the masjid after Ramadan. You were hungry to stand behind the imam and recite the Quran after Ramadan. Stay hungry. When shaitan comes to you after Ramadan and starts tempting you and saying, oh man, you don't need to go to this, you don't need to get up for that, tell shaitan, no, not yet. Not until I take my last breath will I leave this, and I'm going to keep going. Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you now to prepare for the day of Eid. And I'm going to make the announcements now because I think they're so important. And that is, tonight we will have the Khatam al-Quran. Please join us. At the end there will be a very long dua, not just for us and our families, but for the whole ummah. Inshallah, a dua for our whole world. And so I ask you, bi'idhnillah, to join us tonight. I need to inform you the zakat al-fitr is $10 per person, per member of your family. And I have read hadith that say even the slave should pay zakat al-fitr. So that you have a sense of how serious it is. And we want to get that zakat early enough so that we can, in an organized way, distribute it to those in need in our community. So I'll ask you today, bi'idhnillah, if you can pay your zakat al-fitr today. Darul Hijrah is planning for the Eid prayer for Monday, July 28th. There will be 5 prayers. It is important, bi'idhnillah, that you try to come to the prayer early. Know that it is a prayer, alhamdulillah, that is the opposite of Salatul Jumu'ah. That we will pray followed by a khutbah. I invite you, bi'idhnillah, to stay for the khutbah. All of the imams that are speaking that day will try to keep the khutbah short. Even me. The first prayer will be at 7 a.m. with Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hanouti. The second prayer, 8 a.m. with Brother Osama Abu Shert. The third prayer will be at 9 a.m. with Sheikh Shakir. The fourth prayer will be with Ashraf Nubani. And the fifth prayer, or that's at 10:15, Ashraf Nubani, and 11:30 with yours truly. We ask you, inshallah, please, we're going to have an Eid celebration the next Saturday, which is August the 2nd. From 12 to 6, it will be a celebration on the grounds of the masjid. Pony ride, the train ride, games, clowns, laser tag, food, and it's all for free. We're asking you to donate as much as you can, at least $5, alhamdulillah, so that we can pay for everything. So no one will feel that they missed out on the day of Eid. Some child said, Abi, I want to go ride one more time. And you say, we cannot afford it. On this day, it will be a day of abundance. As long as they can wait in the line and be patient, well, alhamdulillah, they get to ride the pony again. Wallahi, I'm telling you, there's some children, they remember the pony ride from the day of Eid all their lives. SubhanAllah. You think it's small, but for them, wallahi, it's a big deal for them. I need to inform you, when you're coming for the salat, the times again, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, and 11:30, please park your car across the street at either of the two churches. Obey the rules to make it easy on our security people. Alhamdulillah, know you will come in one door with your shoes, you'll put them in a plastic bag, and you'll leave through the other door. So
Don't come with the idea you're going to leave your shoes on that side and then can't find them after the thing and you blame Imam Johari. Alhamdulillah, we ask you, alhamdulillah, to donate generously. And I want to thank you all, subhanAllah. We had our fundraising, major Ramadan fundraising Wednesday night with Imam Siraj. And alhamdulillah, we reached our goal, $200,000. We ask Allah to reward each and every one of you abundantly for what you have given and replace it with something better. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasnatan wa fil akhirati hasnatan wa qina adhaban nar. أخنا جنة ما أبرار اللهم اهدينا في من هديت وافينا في من أفيت وتولنا في من توليت O Allah, guide us among those whom you have guided. O Allah, protect us among those whom you have protected. Ya Allah, take us as a friend among those whom you have taken as a friend. Ya Allah, we ask that you accept our fasting in this month, Ya Allah. O Allah, accept our standing in the night, Ya Allah. O Allah, accept our prayers, walhamdulillah. O Allah, accept our sacrifice, subhanAllah, in your cause. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that you continue to bless us and our families, Ya Allah. O Allah, keep us together on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, some of us, our families are in difficulty, Ya Allah. Keep us close, Ya Allah. Keep us close, Ya Allah. Cause us to love you and to love each other more, Ya Allah. O Allah, we ask that you keep us, alhamdulillah, away from the harm and the diseases of the society, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify us, Ya Allah, from the recitation of your Quran, Ya Allah. O Allah, those who maybe are having diseases, Ya Allah, we ask that you grant them your shifa. Ya Allah, those who are suffering with the lack of risk, Ya Allah, of sustenance, O Allah, we ask that you increase their sustenance, O Allah. O Allah, help us, alhamdulillah, that we will be among those who help, Ya Allah. O Allah, we are living in a world with so much difficulty and violence, Ya Allah. O Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam wa tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. O Allah, you are peace and you are the source of peace, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us to be agents of your peace, Ya Allah. O Allah, that we might work and strive, alhamdulillah, to bring peace to our world. O Allah, we ask for your mercy on those who are suffering around the corner, Ya Allah, and around the world. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, for your mercy and your peace on the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his family and on his companions, and on all of the anbiya and those who follow the way of your haq, Ya Allah, until the day of judgment. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر لكم أقم الصلاة الله